1975, and we got involved in their church. And we were in Commerce City for, I think, 13 years, and we had one baby, then we had two, then we had three, then we had four, all in 5 years. We didn't know what we were doing, obviously. Or maybe we did, I don't know. So anyhow, we had all these kids, and we had a 600-square-foot house with two bedrooms, and Deb's and my bedroom was a 9-by-10 room. And so when we put our bed in there, we had about 2 feet on one side and about a foot on the other, and that was it. And so we kind of had to scoot past the chest of drawers and walk across the bed. And then as we gained these kids, we had a little bit bigger room, but we had four kids in the room. And finally, I built a room off the garage so my oldest son could be in it. And I dug out a basement in this house and put in a room for Debbie and I downstairs so the kids could share the other two rooms. And at some point, that became inadequate, so we decided to sell. And the market back then was just like it is now, where all the real estate was falling, you know. And so we got a buyer lined in and got ready to go, and the bank said, nope, you got to sell it for $10,000 left. Now, back then, $10,000 was probably like $50,000 now or more. And so we ended up only making $3,000 after 13 years in a house. And most of that was absorbed. And so we moved out of that, and we rented a place big enough for us to be in. And for 9 years, we rented a couple different houses and stayed in them, you know. And you know what's funny about that is in 1999, we finally bought another house. And when we bought that house and we got into it, I really realized that we had felt like foreigners for those 9 years. I didn't realize that because we always had a landlord, and we just seemed to pick the right landlords, you know, the ones that would come and say, oh, I see the barn door open the other day on Tuesday, and I want you to keep that shut, and all these kind of things. And you realize, and many of you here may rent, and you realize how little control you have, don't you? And if you've rented in the past, you kind of know that. And I look at these, and we just didn't have much control in those days. And so we are finally in our home today in this building. We don't have a landlord telling us. Now we have the fire department. And you know, I guess you can't ever get away from it. But isn't it neat to just have a home? And it's going to feel funny to us for a while, and things aren't going to work for a while. Things are going to be discombobulated, and I'm just going to ask you for your patience, like I said earlier. Just bear with us when it's loud. We know it's loud, just like you know it's loud, or whatever it may be, but we're going to adjust those and make it there. But as I thought about that this week, I thought, let's not kid ourselves. Our home is really each other, isn't it? It's not brick and mortar and steel. It's each other. We're at home. Real life is kind of like these red shoes. It's like being in another land. I don't know. I loved The Wizard of Oz when I was a kid. Did you? I always thought that was such a great show with Judy Garland and the whole thing. In fact, I got to play the Scarecrow 1 year when I was in junior high. Now, that may be not very obvious to you now, but then I was a beanpole, and so I fit, man. I had the little straw hanging out my arms. It was a lot of fun, and so The Wizard of Oz became a pretty big deal for me. And, you know, I my mind goes to the place where Dorothy and the Tin Man and the Lion and the Scarecrow get to Oz, the city of Oz, and they go to meet the wizard, and they find him out in the curtain pulling the rods. You remember that? And I thought, you know what? That is so like our earth, isn't it? It is so like the life we live where, you know, in having the government agencies come in and listen to them talk and stuff, it's just like the wizard behind the curtain. It doesn't have any substance. And life on this earth has very little substance except Jesus Christ. Isn't that true? You know, Monday, I officiated a funeral. A family that goes to our church, a lady's husband passed away, and so Monday I went to do the funeral. And so over the weekend, as soon as we got done with the weekend services, I started studying for the message and what I was going to say about this man. And, you know, we were in the throes of this building, and it was such a hassle. And so for a day, I got to take time out, just take time out. And I thought, man, would I love to be in heaven? Thinking about that man and writing up that message, I thought, what is he doing right now? He was disabled. And so is he running? Is he running around in heaven just like a chicken with his head cut off because his legs work and his arms and he's having a good time? Is he listening to Jesus Christ as Jesus Christ talks to him personally? And I thought about that and I thought, oh man, wouldn't it be great to be in heaven? And you know what? I go back to that movie and I think, Oz is like the earth. And Dorothy just couldn't wait to get out of the earth. And we finally see where he tells her, look, Dorothy, if you just click your heels 3 times and believe, you'll go back to Kansas. And I look at that and I think, you know, we fight these authorities on earth. In fact, let me just read this scripture for you. In Ephesians chapter 6, to remind you, in 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Did you get that? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. But it sure seems like it, doesn't it? But against principalities, rulers, against powers, against the rulers, the world's strengths of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Paul's telling us that we are exposed to evil throughout our life in this world, and it just is never going to be heaven. But I don't know about you, and my heart cries out for heaven. Does yours? I keep thinking somehow in this world, it's all going to fit together and work really well. Now, I'm turning 60 in July, and I've never experienced that yet. I've never experienced it. I mean, just stop and think about it. If you have a list to do during the day and you put down 10 things, how many do you get done? One or two, because there's so much interference, right? And then you're really glad that you got the 2 things done. In this process of building the building, it instantly came to me as I was first doing that funeral and as we went through this week, I thought, man, this world is never, never going to satisfy. It's a time when we learn about Christ. It's a time when we realize we don't want to worship anything other than Christ because life beats us and beats us every time we do. And the world will never meet that standard because it's not heaven. And even more than that, we don't belong here. Isn't that great? We don't belong here. If you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and you're saved today, you don't belong here. And just as Dorothy felt lost, we feel lost. And just as she wandered around and got into problems, we wander through the earth and get into problems. And we finally come to this conclusion, and it's our scripture this morning. And if you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Because I'd really love you, and it's going to be up here. There it is. Now, therefore, you are what? No longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saint and members of the household of God. So it's not about this house. It's about that house. Man, I tell you this week, and I'm sure Clyde felt exactly the same way. I think he and I would have paid $1,000 just to go right on up. Just be done with it, because it was so grueling and so hard. And you know, I stop and think about it and I think, well, does God want us to put our hope in this building? Does God want us to put our hope in the United States of America? What's going on? What does God want? And I look at our nation and I see that it's becoming more and more powerless, and it was made known to me because after working through all these government agencies, I realized we are not free. I mean, our nation may stand for freedom, but we are not free. Not like we think we are. And I had to ask the question this week, who am I a citizen of? Am I a citizen of Adams County, or am I a citizen of heaven? We are the household of God. We are the citizens of God's country. We are from His household, and we are from His family. That's our hope. And one day, just like the man that we had the memorial service, we're going to run in heaven. And we're not going to trust government agencies. We're going to listen to Christ. And He's going to bring us a real peace that we've never, never experienced on life and can't. So tell me, what are you putting your hope in? Is it a new building? Is it politics? Is it money? Is it a relationship? My hope is being in God's family. What about yours? I'm ready. You know, I was reading on the internet this week, and I read this Irish pastor, and this may seem insignificant to you, but it really hit me. He says, when you come to faith in Christ, you become a member of the church, and effectively and spiritually, you lose your nationality and your political allegiance, and you become one in Christ. And as I read that, I thought, great. And then I thought about it, and I thought, wait a minute. In Ireland, this guy's not a part of Ireland. In China, the Christians in China are not part of China. In Russia, the Christians in Russia really aren't part of Russia. And in the United States, we're really not a part of the United States. We are from Christ's kingdom. And this week, as we moved to the deadline, people came out of the woodwork and they began to clean and fix. And if you were here 1 week ago, you would go, oh my goodness, what a transformation in this building. And yesterday morning, we were here and we hung the sound panels. And I was with Joel Ritchie and David Streeter, and we were standing there putting them up and this kind of thing. And while we were putting this up, I thought, man, I really love Joel Ritchie. You know how you have that feeling? And then, man, I really love Dave Streeter. What a neat thing. And I realized, wait a minute, it isn't about the sound panels. It's about you and I being brothers and sisters in Christ and loving each other. And let me just read that verse again. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So, in final, I just want to ask you this question. Whose family member are you, Christian? Whose family member are you? Are you Christ's? Are you here today and you don't know? Clyde's going to come up in a second. I'm going to pray. But there's no place like home. Let's pray. Father, we come. We thank you so much for giving us this building, but Lord, our hope is not in this building. Our hope is in you. We have experienced through life all the different things that we thought we could place hope in, but it all comes to nothing. You call it futility in Romans 8. And we groan within our hearts waiting for the redemption of our bodies, Lord. That's our hope. And we can't wait for that day when it comes, but in the meantime, Lord, will you teach us
to love our brothers and our sisters. Will you teach us to love the lost and bring them in? Will you help us to reach way beyond what our mind conceived up to this point in ministry? That we might be involved in the kingdom with you, and we put our hope in you and nothing else. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, we got to tweak things a little bit here now. Chad?
There we go.
Amen. Amen. Better get up here. You know, as he was talking about Dorothy, I was thinking also about somebody else. I remember years ago, I was at the Denver Rescue Mission, and I met this gal down there. She used to come in all the time. Her name was Rosie. And she would come in different times. Rosie was a prostitute. And she would come in at different times, and she'd be with a different man and a different pimp. And one night in the service, I gave an invitation to come to Christ. And Rosie got up, and she beat everybody to the front. And Rosie was crying, and she said, "Clyde, could God forgive a person like me?" And I said, "Rosie, right now he can forgive you. And you know, you may not even be like Rosie. But the Bible says that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God," Romans 3:23. And the Bible says in Romans 6 that the wages for sin, the payment for sin, is death, a separation from Almighty God. But it doesn't stop there. It says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So you may be sitting here right now, and in the quietness of where you sit, you're thinking to yourself, "I really don't know Christ. I'm really not a Christian." Or you look good on the outside, but inside, you have the battle that goes on. And many times you may even have come to a church setting like this, and that pressure rose up inside of you, and you're thinking, "Oh, what am I going to do with this?" My friend, maybe today, like that night for Rosie, is the time to say, "Lord, I want you in my life." So let's bow our heads for a moment here. As you sit there in the quietness of your seat, question: if you died right now, where would you go? Would you go to heaven? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord? Do you believe that God raised him from the dead? If so, pray with me right now. Pray and ask him to come into your life as you sit there. And as we get done praying, I'm going to ask you, if you prayed that prayer, and what I'd like you to do is just raise your hand and put it right back down. Nobody's going to embarrass you. Nobody's going to come towards you. I'd just like to know. Pray with me right now if that is you. "Lord, come into my life. I believe that you are Lord Jesus. I believe that God raised you from the dead. I surrender my life to you. I open my heart to you. Come inside of me and live inside of me and change my life." If you've prayed that prayer this morning, just raise your hand and put it right back down. Thank you. Anybody else? You prayed that prayer this morning. Okay, look up here at me. Oh, this is so good. This feels good. And you know, this morning when I got here, I was pretty tired, but you know, after the people started coming in, I started getting energy, man. So would you please stand? Because we're going to take a picture of all your pretty faces.
Yeah. Now, she's going to have a camera up there, and we want a picture of our first Sunday. And I want to make a special note. Vandabas, will you raise your hand?
These two here are pastor and wife of Community Baptist Church on Road 2, and they just flew in, so they decided to come to our church instead of theirs. Let's give them a hand. Thank you, Alan. All right. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to wave. Everybody wave. Okay, can you scoot in a little bit so we can just get into a big bunch here? Let's go. Wave.
Okay.
Do you get it?
So you excuse him? All right. Okay, you're excused.